Harrisburg area, and we've been, we started, let me see, we started in September of 2004, and then we went public with the ministry in March of 2005, and so this is March. In fact, this weekend, this is exactly 10 years. So in a sense, you guys are helping us celebrate our 10-year anniversary of public ministry. God set that up just quite nicely, didn't he? We actually celebrate as a church the September date, because that's when we actually officially got started, but we went public in March of 2005. So this is our 10 years of public ministry being involved in this area. And it's been an amazing, amazing journey that the Lord has had us on all of these years. My wife and I have been working in Harrisburg, working for the state, and ministering on the weekends. You really can call our ministry more of a prayer ministry, prayer and healing with a family focus. If any of you have heard, I guess you heard the DVD, most of what the Lord sent us to Harrisburg to minister on, the main theme has always been the healing of hearts and homes. And it's amazing how God gives different ministries a different emphasis. We wouldn't dare say that we have the word for Harrisburg. We were just simply bringing our part. Because, you know, how many of you come to know that's you get out of that competition thing. You know, somebody gets a word from the Lord and they think everybody should jump on board with that word. But that's like, you know, you can't. There are different parts of the body, has different functions. So our function, the Lord told us to focus on hearts and homes. A lot of issues in Harrisburg. You're seeing more and more in the news with violence and all kinds of things happening there. And so sometimes we've had that battle where different ministers or ministries have kind of wondered, what are you guys doing, and what does dealing with hearts and homes have to do? You know, we need to deal with the racism in Harrisburg, and we need to deal with the violence in Harrisburg, and we need to deal with, you know, the education problem in Harrisburg and the politics in Harrisburg. Well, if God calls different people to go into those areas, that's fine. But what he told us was to deal with people's hearts and in their homes. You know, because God does that. He comes at it from all different ways, doesn't he? He comes at the enemy. You know, we think of the enemy surrounding us sometimes, but actually it's the other way around. God's got the enemy surrounded. So he puts us in all these different, come on, bless the Lord. See, I tell you, come to this house and you guys make you want to preach right from the start. I'm still trying to introduce my family, and while we got here, and I feel like preaching. But we came across, let me wrap that up. But we came across your pastor during the Unite to Restore preparations, Unite to Restore America. My friend Joe Green, who is, I really should say my brother, you know. Right. Just right. A brother from another mother, right? But he invited me to come to these gatherings with Abby. Oh, that's my other brother from the. But he invited me to come to these meetings that were being held by Abby Ableness and her husband Jim. You know them, and so I said okay, you know, oh okay, yeah, oh okay. And when I got there, my life was just completely turned around, as God had. Opened up the opportunity for my wife and I to meet people who we know that he had determined from the beginning of time for us to come across their paths, for our paths to intersect, and for us to merge and come together for prayer for this region. Now, how many of you know that prayer time that we had at Hershey, it wasn't just about Harrisburg and Hershey. Right. It was about this entire region, and it was about America. And so since that time, our lives have not been the same. Just one thing after another has just happened. We've had an incredible sequence of events that have taken place that have really ushered the will of God in our lives in a fresh and a new way. And you guys are very much a part of that. We feel so connected to you that I don't have enough words to express how much we feel connected to every single one of you. You know, there's a kindred spirit. You just come into a place and you don't feel like a stranger. And so it's as if, though, we've always known you, but I'm just getting to see the faces of people that we've always known. And so we love you, love you, love you. And we're so glad to be here. And so before I continue preaching, I'll give my wife an opportunity to say hi. After I leave you, nothing to say, right?
Hi, we love you. And it's so good to be home again.
Yes.
God bless you.
Oh, she kept it short and sweet. That's what I was trying to say. Oh, my Lord. We want to sing a little song for you. And I got the words for you, see, because I remember last time that you guys have the books with the words. So I said, okay, I'll bring the words so that you guys can sing along with us. It's called a little song called My Story. And it goes along with what we want to share with you tonight. So can someone can kind of take these and pass these around to everybody. Hope there's enough. You can share if there's not enough. Many, many years ago, my wife and I were youth pastors in the inner city of St. Louis, Missouri. Yes, the very same St. Louis that's in the news right now. That's actually where I'm from, born and raised there. And my wife and I actually lived in that apartment complex where that whole thing happened. We actually lived in that apartment complex when we had only been married about 4 years. Yeah, about four years back then. So we've been married 34 years. So yeah, 30 years ago, we lived in that apartment complex in Ferguson. And I have much of my family and friends and live in that area. So obviously that's been very, very, very strong on our heart, what's been happening there. We're very much connected to what's happening there. My pastor is my older brother. He's 5 years older than me. And Carol and I served in that ministry for 14 years, as part of the full-time staff. And part of that season, we were overseers of the youth and the young adults. And we watched God explode in the youth and young adult ministry among inner city kids. That's what we were accustomed to and have worked with through the years. And I mean, we weren't getting that transfer growth, you know, just kids coming from another church. We were getting kids from the street, really giving their hearts to the Lord and then trying to disciple them. And they were coming in with all this rap music, which I didn't care for at all. Yeah, that's one of the misnomers. Sometimes you may think that all black people like rap music, but for us, the parents of that generation, it was the same thing as for some of you when your parents really didn't like rock. So think of rap music as being rock music that the older black parents don't really care for. But that was what they understood. That's what they knew. And I watched God really, really change kids' lives. They really got saved and loved God. And some of them were sometimes ashamed of the life that they had lived before. And so we'd be in, you know, standing in worship like we just did here today. And I'd watch some of them kind of sit back, and they would sit in their seats, and they really didn't know the songs. You know, they didn't really know the worship songs and the music and everything. So they felt kind of disconnected. And they were really, some of them they did horrible things. Some of them were coming out of gangs, and even the gang initiation required of them to do violent things and shameful things, even to be in the gangs. So here they are, they're saved, they love God, but they're ashamed of their background and what they've come out of. And so the Lord gave me this little song for these young people, and it's called I'm Not Ashamed of My Story, because my story brings Him glory. His grace is written in the pages to be proclaimed through all the ages. That way, you don't be ashamed of where you come from and what God has brought you out of. You know, and we see that in the Bible. Think of the woman who was known for having 7 demons cast out of her. Can you imagine that people introducing you that way? Hey, there's Carol. She had 7 demons cast out of her. So you'd be like, wait a minute, I got a name. But that's how these kids were feeling. And God gave us this little song, and we began to sing it in our youth ministry as part of our worship. That my story brings God glory. Yes. And I want to teach you that song tonight. Amen. Go ahead, it's track number 3. We didn't get a chance to rehearse or anything, so we'll see how this goes. Goes like this.
I'm not ashamed of my story, because my story brings Him glory. His grace is written in the pages to be proclaimed throughout the ages. I'm not ashamed of my story, because my story brings him glory, not just a private testimony. I'm a living.
Yeah, some of our stories were like this.
Tragedy, strife, and grief. Sin is such a hold on me. Guilt and shame got my hand. For my past, the blood was shed. Tragedy, strife, and grief. Sin is such a hold on me. Guilt and shame got my hand. For my past, the blood was shed. I'm not ashamed of my my story brings him glory. His grace is written in the pages to be proclaimed throughout the ages. I'm not ashamed of my story, because my story brings him glory. Not just a private testimony. I'm a living letter for the Lord.
Now we make this declaration.
His name is like a mighty tower. The righteous run into for power. To be delivered and made free. No condemnation within me. His name is like a mighty tower. The righteous run into for power. To be delivered and made free. No condemnation within me.
Come on, how many can say, that's where I stand with God. I thank you, Lord God, for all of what I've been through. God, you'll get the glory. Yes, Lord, I'm not ashamed of my past. Yes, Lord, because you've given me such an awesome future. Come on, bless the Lord right now. Yes, Lord, the Lord is good. Come on, you said the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. Come on, let's sing it.
The Lord is good, his mercy endures. To all generations, his word is sure. The Lord is good, his mercy endures. To all generations, his word is sure. The Lord is good, his mercy endures. To all generations, his word is sure. The Lord is good, his mercy generations, his word is sure. The Lord is good, his mercy endures. To all generations, his word is sure. The Lord is good, his mercy endures. To all generations, his word is sure.
To all generations,
all generations, his word.
Come on, think of to all generations.
All generations, his word is sure.
Yeah, to all.
To all generations, his word is sure. To all generations, his word is sure.
Now come on, worship him. Oh, we bless you, Lord God. Oh, we glorify your name, Lord God.
Oh, we give your name the praise today. We honor you, O Lord. Oh, we bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. I bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord God. We bless your name. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord. Nothing like the goodness of God. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, to all generations, the young, the old, to all generations, his word is sure. How many of you found that out? I can depend on the word of God. Yes, Lord, when God speaks to me and he gives a promise, there's an expectation that comes in our spirit. I remember back, I always tell this story, when our sons were real little, sometimes I'd come home from work and I would say, we're going to go to Toys R Us at the end of this week. And then they would drive their mother crazy, asking all week long,
Are we going today? Are we going today? Every day. Are we going today? And she would tell me, don't tell them at the beginning of the week that we're going to do something like that and we can't get there until Friday. But what happened when Dad made that promise? Expectation came into their hearts. And so they were counting on every day for Dad to fulfill his promise. Daddy said, we're going. So every day they were exciting, saying, is this the day? Is today the day? Do you hear God speaking to you today? There are promises that he has given you and us, and we're kind of, sometimes we go, how is it really going to happen? Because weeks go by, months go by, sometimes years go by, and we're still waiting. But the length of time in between that promise is just the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts for what he has promised. That's what I learned through the years. When it took a while for certain things to come to pass, it's because God was getting my heart ready for what he promised. God promises us some big stuff, but sometimes the capacity of our heart isn't ready for it. So he lets us go through some time, make some adjustments in our lives, helps us to get rid of some stuff that could have messed up the plan. And sometimes that takes a process of weeks and months or years. Got some stuff in my house that what he promised me, it can't be in the house when he allows this thing to come. Yeah. So he waits for us to get the point to say, okay, I need to do some house cleaning. There's some stuff that needs to get out because what God has promised me, it can't share space with things that are of my making, of my doing, of my building. It can't share the space with what is God alone. Yes, Lord God. So right now in this moment, if that's you right now, I don't know why I needed to share that, but just tell the Lord, yes, Lord God, my heart is waiting in expectation for what you promise. Lord, everything that's not like you, that's not a part of the plan, show me, Lord God. I commit even tonight. I'll go home and I'll throw it out tonight. I will get rid of it tonight. Throughout this week, God, whatever house cleaning I need to make, whatever apologies I need to make, whatever unforgiveness issues I need to let go of, people that I need to let go of, I determine right now to say yes to you, Lord God. So that the promise that you have made to me, some of you it's been years ago, and you've been waiting all of your life for this moment, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, and he said, I've been waiting for you to come to this place where you would just say yes, where you would say yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord right now. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. That was not planned. I love being in this house. It's easy to preach here. You can tell that the presence of God is here. And you guys get an opportunity every week to hear awesome men and women of God that come in here and impart and share incredible things. You are a unique congregation in that you are able to handle that. Yes. Where God can bring in such a diverse teaching and styles and people and colors and ethnic groups, and you're able to receive the word of God no matter who it's coming through. You are a very, very special, very unique congregation. Everybody can't do that. Everybody can't do that. And so there's something very special about you. There is a hunger and a desire for truth. There's a hunger and a desire for the word of God that's in you that God can say, then I could send anybody. Whoever has the word, I could send it to because you will receive it. You don't limit God. Thank you, Lord God. You don't limit God here. You don't say, God, it has to come in this package. It has to come using this style and this flavor. You guys just simply say, Lord, whatever it is you got for me, bring it on. Come on, bless him. And that's why you will be such a powerful end time ministry. You will be able to minister to people that everybody else overlooks on your job, in the family, in the neighborhood, because you'll be so accustomed to looking past the package that it's in, that when you're just looking at people at work, if you want, you'll look right past their nice fine clothes and apparel, and their, you know how people look like everything is okay and they smile, you'll be able to see right through it and see the hurting heart, to see the desire for the things of God. You'll be able to work past their arguments and the walls that they throw up. You'll be able to go right past it, because God has been able to train you and to entrust you to receive of his word, no matter what it looks like, no matter what the packaging looks like. Oh, you guys carry such a unique thing. My Lord God, I believe that this is first century church ability, because the first church was multi-ethnic, multicultural. So God could speak through any apostle, through any prophet, through any evangelist, through any teacher, through any man, woman, boy, or girl. You guys are already walking in it. I did not plan to say all this. I got all my notes and everything. I didn't plan to say this, but standing here in this moment, God is just revealing, you guys are ready. You are ready. Sometimes you can feel like, God, are we really ready yet? Because you're looking at your flaws and faults and failures. But God sees hearts. God sees hearts that are saying, God, if you can use me in my weakness, in my frailty, in my failure, then I say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I don't know what the background is of many of you that are here. You may have come from other churches and other ministries where you were the castaways, where you were the ones that were cast out, where you were the ones that were lost and forgotten. You fell through the cracks, but you fell right into the right place at the right time with the right people. Because God's got a way of always assembling the motley crew, the A-team, that strange bunch of folks who will take on assignments that nobody else will do. You know why? It's because for so many years you've been on the sideline and put off to the side and ignored and overlooked. It's not that you were trying to get some position, but you were just simply saying, Lord, use me. Some of you stepped out and God used you. And because God used you, you got abused for it. Somebody thought you were trying to make a name for yourself. Somebody thought you were trying to overthrow the pastor and the ministry and the leadership. And all you were doing was just saying, yes, Lord, use me. But God caused your steps to fall into this place, to come right into a place where he could say, yeah, I'm going to use you, and I can use you. You are so grateful. I see people whose hearts are just so grateful to the Lord that when opportunities come, it never even occurs to you to pat yourself on the back. You're just so grateful for the opportunity to be in his presence. You're just so grateful for the opportunity to carry his word. You're just so grateful for the opportunity to live the life in front of unbelievers, to be light in the midst of darkness, that it never even occurs to you, oh my Lord, that I'm going to get a reward for this at the end of all of this. You're just so grateful. Come on, bless the Lord in this house today. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, verses 4 through 6, I got several scriptures I just want to read here. You just kind of make a note for yourself. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6, the word of the Lord says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. Then Matthew 22, just write that down. Matthew 22, verses 35 through 37 says, Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him, meaning Jesus, a question, testing him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. John 13, write that one down. John 13, verses 34 and 35 says, A new commandment, Jesus speaking, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Listen to that. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Isn't it something how in Matthew we read where he says that the greatest commandment was that we that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. And then in John 14, he says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. In Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, we read where Jesus gives us another assignment, another command. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, this is verses 18 through 20 of Matthew 28. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Amen. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity that you have granted for us to speak to such an awesome, great people. Lord, you called them out of darkness, brought them together to display your marvelous light. I am humbled, Lord God. Who am I that you would cause me to speak before such royalty? Prince and princesses, thank you, Lord God. May these words that I speak not be the words of Chris Green. Chris Green decreases in this moment, that you would increase. May we hear your word. May we hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. I'm a writer. That's the gifting that the Lord gave me, and so I go with that. I write what he says, write, and then I stand before people and read, and then whatever he gives me on the spot, I'll go with that. In fact, by the way, just as our gift to you, we did it last time we were here. We don't sell our books and DVDs and all of that. The Lord told us when we came to this area to plant and to sow. And that's not to speak against anybody that does sell CDs and DVDs. That's just what his instructions were to us, to come here and to give and plant and sow. So back there are books that my wife and I have written, and they really aren't necessarily really writing books. Every week we send an encouraging email to our church family, every single week, and we've been doing that for a number of years now. And so after a whole year of sending emails, we gather all those emails for that year and put them in one book. So those are just books year after year after year of encouraging words that we sent to our church family. And so we just, one of our friends was looking at our emails and said, well, instead of just, you know, keeping them in email form, why don't you take all those emails, put them in a book, and make them like a devotional that people can read to encourage themselves. And so that's basically what they are. So you're welcome to them, just encouraging words, and the DVDs and CDs, you're welcome. Welcome to them. We're giving them to you as just our gift. When we go to a place, we like to come and give. And so it's yours. It's yours. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I said all of that to say that's why you're about to hear me read. But I'll try not to be boring as I read. I think I'm a little animated, so get ready. I'm always intrigued when I meet someone for the first time, because I'm very much aware that my life is intersecting with someone who's on a journey just like me. We're all coming from somewhere, and we're all going somewhere. And that's the name of this message. Where have you been, and where are you going? Everybody say that. Where have you been, and where are you going? Say it again. Where have you been, and where are you going? So that's why I'm always intrigued when I come across someone's path, because I think like that. My life is intersecting with another life, and I wonder what their journey has been like. Along the way, we're all coming from somewhere and we're all going somewhere, but along the way, we have these incredible moments where our paths cross with others. These crossing paths can be gentle mergers, or they can be crude collisions. These crossing paths from which we can form opinions about another person and make value judgments about the other person or even about ourselves. I've intersected with people who don't necessarily believe what I believe. They don't like what I like. Some people have been curious when we've crossed paths. They've been curious about me. Some have even hated me. Others have shown great fear at just the mere sight of me. And why? Why have such diverse responses, such diverse, different responses been made either for me or against me? Well, it's simply because where they have been is what's affecting this intersection. If where they have been causes their intersection with me today to bring up memories of a person who looked like me, talked like me, walked like me, or acted like me, well, they won't see me for the fear of where they've been. They fear that where they've been is going to be repeated in the here and now with me. You see, the now is the intersection we're all in. You know, it's the in-between space between where we've been and where we're going. And if we intersect with someone or something that is a reminder of a good thing, then we welcome that intersection. But if they remind us of the hurt and the pain of where we've been, then all we want is just to get past them, around them, and some of us even run over them if we can just get to where we're trying to go. Sometimes our drive to get where we're going makes us insensitive to the journeys of others. Let me say that again. Sometimes our drive to get to where we're going makes us insensitive to the journey of others. It makes us so determined to reach our goals that we forget the two things that Jesus told us to do. He gave us the greatest commandment, which was, and he later upgraded it. Don't you love God's upgrades? He upgraded it to a new commandment, to love God with our all and to love others in the same way he loved us. Think about when God intersected with man. So secondly, he gave us the Great Commission. He said, go into all the world preaching the gospel. And he included that we should teach them to observe the same things that he had commanded us to do. And what did he command us to do? To love God with all and to love others in the same way he loved us. And now, a critical intersection is being made right now in this moment while I'm speaking, because where you have been has a direct effect on your and my perception of what I just said. If the greatest commandment and the Great Commission were presented to you as more religious obligation, think about it. If in your past the Great Commandment and the Great Commission were presented to you as more religious obligation and more guilt-tripping Christianity, how many of you have heard these kind of messages and you just walk out feeling bad? And why? Because if that has been where you have been, then this intersection that we're having right now is being affected. So before I continue to expound and to read about in this intersecting moment that we're having right now, let me share a bit about where I've been. Then you'll understand what I'm talking about with the great command and the great commission. Many people don't know this about me and my family. My mother was 7 months pregnant with me when her youngest child, who was a 2-year-old boy, died of an accidental food choking. My parents, my mother and my siblings, they were getting ready to go to vacation Bible school one morning. My mother cut up grapefruit, sliced it all up, gave it to all the children, went on to continue getting dressed like moms do, and the 2-year-old got choked eating the grapefruit. I won't take you through the whole scene, but he died. So my mom, while she's wailing and in grief, I'm in her. So 2 months later, she was 7 months pregnant. Every mother in here, just imagine if you lose a child and you're still pregnant and you've got to come up with the strength to give birth while you're still grieving. I was born into a grief-stricken family. I was born in the aftermath of devastating loss. And all of my life, it seemed like I was always stepping into situations where something traumatic had just taken place. I always felt like I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. After moving to Pennsylvania, the Lord was able to reveal to me that my birth was a prophetic statement about the calling on my life. I'm not bragging about myself, but I want you to see the glory of God. One of my brothers shared with me that he still remembers when mom and dad brought little baby Chris home, and the house was filled with new life. He shared with me how it changed the atmosphere of the house when a new life came in. The Lord used this, my brother telling me this, to help me to accept my calling. God even brought a special woman into my life from Harrisburg to share in this godly purpose. I hope I don't sound like I'm boasting about us tonight, because in reality, we don't feel worthy of such a calling. Our lives have been marked by many failures, many flaws, many faults, and yet the Lord chose us for this type of role in the body of Christ, in the family of God. I must admit that sometimes I've made attempts to try to teach about some of the heavier and meatier things in God. I've tried. Sometimes I've even stumbled. Sometimes you'll step out there and try to give your personal opinion on comment and make comments about political and social issues, and I have blown it. God keeps taking me back to, you got to deal with the fact that I called you to come in behind loss, behind tragedy, behind trauma. That's what I called you to do. The one place that my wife and I always experience the special flow in the wind of God is when he places us in somebody's path to breathe his life into the situation where there has been death and divorce and desertion and disappointment and loss. He keeps assigning us there. Many years ago, in the early days of our ministry while we were living in St. Louis, there was a particular Sunday that our family went out to eat after church once. You know how it is. I like how y'all do it. You eat before service. we would always go after service. You know, you go to the restaurants, and we went to this one particular restaurant. It was one of those all-you-can-eat buffets. And, of course, it was full of church folks, because y'all know that's what we do after church. There were people from other churches and other fellowships and other assemblies. They were all scattered around the room, all sitting in their tables, laughing and talking. And suddenly I heard the awful sound of someone gagging and choking. Children began to scream, and without hesitating, I jumped up. I ran over to the table that was across the room, and when I got there, there was this woman, and she leaned back in her chair, and her eyes were bulging, and there was this horrible gargling sound in her throat. The people at the table were yelling, the children were screaming, and I got behind her, and I was trying to lift her up so that I could perform the Heimlich maneuver to dislodge whatever was in her throat, and she was a bit too heavy for me, and so in my effort, it was just futile. And fear began to grip me because what I was trying to do wasn't working. Then out of nowhere, this really tall, husky young man was standing next to me, and he was helping me to lift the woman up. And once we got her to her feet, he got behind her, wrapped his arms around her, and with a couple of powerful thrusts, he dislodged the food. And she began to breathe. And of course, she just burst into tears. And there are no words to describe the joy that everyone had at that table. The young man and I, we shook hands, and eventually the paramedics arrived, and everybody went back to their tables and gathered with our various church families, where we rehearsed the story over and over and over again. And it occurred to me as I rejoined my church family that in the moment of crisis, it did not matter what different churches we all attended. Come on, bless the Lord. It did not matter what church that woman attended. The young man did not stop and ask me what I believed about baptism and about speaking in tongues. We didn't ask the woman what was her doctrinal stance on tithing and the Great Tribulation. All that mattered was that her life was slipping away before our eyes, and we could not stand there and just watch it happen. I remember how my wife hugged me and told me how proud she was, and even though that did a lot for my confidence as a man, that was not the reason for trying to help the woman. All that mattered was saving that life. God used an actual crisis to change our lives forever. It changed the very reason for us being in the ministry today. I tell you this true life event from my life because I felt you needed to understand a little bit more about this intersection moment we're having. As I talk about the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, this is where I'm coming from. This is where I've been. I'm coming from the experience of unity, agreement, the love of God in the body of Christ, the way that young man and I had to work together. So you see, when we say we really don't focus on the division and the strife amongst the body of Christ, we mean it. Amen. We realize that there are pastors, there are ministers who won't agree with all of our doctrinal beliefs, our core values, our strategies for prayer in Harrisburg and in this region. We won't all agree with all of theirs, but it doesn't matter when you hear that choking. When you hear the choking sound in the air over this region. Do you hear it today? I realize that there are even pastors in this region that got negative history with each other. They have had clashes and conflicts. But we're praying for the time when we'll all lay down the weapons that we got pointed at each other and start responding to the choking people all around us. That day in that restaurant, the Lord made it clear that this is the way we are to see life. People are choking and dying, yet the church is spending its time fighting over their differences instead of saving the lives of those who are choking on sin. Wouldn't it have been ridiculous for me and that young man to have gotten into a fight instead of working together to help that woman? And aren't you tired of watching Christians waste time and energy fighting over doctrine, fighting over beliefs, fighting over ministry strategies, while people are choking right in front of our eyes? So we repeat, we're not here to play games. We're here to save lives. Spiritually, we hear that. I still hear it. I hear that sound, and I hear it in the spirit over this region, that sound of choking. I feel the same way now as I did that day when I ran over and tried to help that woman. The key was that I couldn't do it by myself. I needed the help of another brother from another church who probably didn't even agree with my doctrine. It didn't matter. So here in this intersection moment with you, I'm not talking about giving you another religious burden to carry when I talk about the great commandment, the great commission. I'm saying that we should look back over our lives and let the Holy Spirit show us that your testimony, let him show you your testimony. Let him show it to you in a fresh new light. That's why we sung that song tonight, I'm Not Ashamed of My Story. Just as I've shared with you this story and it gave you insight into my life, can you imagine what God will do if you share your story and let it bring insight into somebody else's life of where you're coming from? People are ready to argue with our beliefs and with our doctrines and with our churches, but can't nobody fight with you over your story. You'll be like the man who Jesus healed. He was blind and Jesus healed, and they were battling and arguing over the fact that it happened on the Sabbath. And dude was questioning him. And let me go St. Louis. Dude was like, I don't know. I don't know nothing about what y'all talking about. All I know is I was blind and now I can see. Y'all can fight over the doctrine and all of that, but all I know is what he did for me. Now imagine what will happen in this region when a bunch of soldiers stand up for God and say, look, y'all can fight over all this stuff, you know, because we got family and friends who, you know, they want to talk about the TV preachers that aren't right. Anybody had that argument? They want to come to you and talk about all of the hypocrites in the church. I can't talk to you about all the hypocrites in the church. All I know is what he did for me. Come on, bless the Lord. What I'm trying to do today is just to infuse you, inject you with some boldness. It's not bragging on yourself to talk about what God has done. You're helping people to understand where you're coming from. They think that when we are, because you know the phrases they use, evangelical, right-wing, conservative, extremist. Boy, they got some tags for us now, don't they? But it's time for us to get really real with them and tell parts of the story that aren't so easy to tell, such as, no, I'm not just against abortion, but I had one, and I know what it'll do to the rest of your life. See, we got to go there. We don't just tell the kids, stop having sex before you get married. We have to go to, look, I did that. I blew it in that area of my life. I'm not just telling you don't do it. Let me tell you the consequences that I went through, and then let me tell you what God did when I gave my heart to him. I'm not just coming out against something. I'm standing up for something. Yes. Yes. Come on, bless the Lord. Many believers get afraid to get into controversial issues. We really do. Though many of us rarely do it, I think it's good to stop for a moment and think about the other person's journey. In fact, we should ask them, how about doing this? Think about this, guys. Ask them about their journey. While they're battling with you about different issues in your family, ask them, how did you come to that conclusion? Don't make it deep and philosophical, because sometimes people like to leave it there. They talk about things way up here at 30,000 feet. No, let's bring it down here to earth. How did you come to that conclusion? Tell me a little bit about your journey. And so when they start telling you about, their zodiac beliefs and how they feel about the gay marriage issue and their abortion philosophies and their race opinions, I'm going to tell you to do something that's going to sound real strange, but just listen. Just listen. Because guess what? While you're listening to them, you're going to hear something that they say that you were in that journey too. And while you're listening, Holy Spirit's going to say, that's the point. That don't cut them off, though. Let them finish the whole story. Say, Holy Spirit, help me to keep that point. Because somewhere in their story, you're going to find your story, and you'll be able to say, I was there too. I came to that conclusion too. There was a time when I felt that way too. But now, let me tell you what God did in my heart. Anybody getting some wisdom tonight? Come on, just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Tell them your story. Tell them what God has done. Leave that on the table. Many believers, yeah, like I said earlier, we get kind of afraid to talk about controversial issues. When people argue with me about abortion rights, I tell them my story and why I'm glad my mother had me, even though she was in great grief. When they argue about gay rights, here's another part of my story. I tell them about my gay older brother who died of AIDS. And I leave one statement in their memory. Here's the only thing I tell them. And I loved him. I loved him. I had a brother who died of AIDS, and I loved him. Still brings me to tears to talk about him. Why? Because I loved him. See, the world's not ready for that. They think we hate. That's why they use that word. Y'all hate us. But get real personal, because some of us in this room, you've got somebody that you know that's gay, that's in that lifestyle, maybe even a family member like me. But what they don't know is that it doesn't change my love for my brother. I know he's been deceived by the enemy, but it doesn't change my love. See, what they think, the world thinks we're disconnected from the people that we're talking about. But we have to show them, no, I've got a brother, I've got a sister, I've got an uncle, I've got a cousin. I love them. I don't agree with their lifestyle, but I love them. I weep over them. They're not ready for that. And God will use that as our point of entry. Come on, say it again, words of that song. I'm not ashamed of my story. My story brings him glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I think if we spend, so much time trying to defend our beliefs that we don't talk about where we've been. When people discover that we have been where they have been, then we just might get the opportunity to share what's next, where we're going. That's the good part. But sometimes we try to hit them with where we're going first, and they can't connect with where we're going because we're talking about the glory of God, the mighty things, and they're like, no connection. So we have to start with where I've been. God gives us this intersection. It's the now. God gives me this intersection to tell them where I've been. We make the connection. Now I can tell them where I'm going and offer the invitation. Do you want to go with me? Do you want to go with me? But we're offering now the answer, Jesus. Now they're able to see Jesus becomes real when we do that. That's what they want to know. Is Jesus real? How do you feel when you lost your job? How do you feel in foreclosure? How do you feel when you went through divorce? How did you feel when you got bullied in high school, in elementary school? How did you feel? I'm telling you, people of God, we start telling them where we've been. In those intersecting moments, it busts the door wide open for them, for us to extend the invitation of where we're going. Bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Our world is filled with many issues and problems, and we can find ourselves always desiring a place of peace and safety and comfort. We'd like to just steal away and get into a setting where it's just me and God and the glory. And yeah, that's wonderful. But Jesus took his disciples up on the mountain and showed him himself, all the glory. And Peter with his old crazy self said, we ought to build 3 tabernacles. And God himself spoke out and said, shut up and listen to my son. 21st century version. Shut up and listen to my son. Come right out of that glorious moment, come down out of the mountain, and there's this boy who demon possessed, and the other disciples couldn't cast the demon out, and Jesus, how long do I have to be with you? And then, because that's what happens, we go up into the glory and come right down into everyday demonic chaos. Because we can't stay up in the mountain. And God wants us to be able to deal with the stuff that's down in that valley. Wow. So will you allow me to kind of gently, tenderly, lovingly kind of bust the bubble of seeing our Sunday gatherings as just a weekly vacation resort? This is not just our escape from the world. As I was thinking about this ministry, here's the picture the Lord gave me of this house. You'll love this analogy. The Lord showed me this. He said, many believers attend a local church to get away from all those things. They don't want to hear a sermon about all these different issues and dealing with people's life. They want to hear about going to heaven, or of course we've seen this in TV preachers about hear about prosperity and all of that. However, I'm convinced that the life and calling on believers today is like learning to drive a car. There are several skills you must learn. You must learn each skill, and then you have to learn how to put them all together. You know, how to steer, how much pressure to put on the accelerator, how much to put on the brake. And if you're doing manual, then you got to learn how to shift and drive with 2 feet. And And that's just operating the vehicle. Then you have to learn how to perform all of those skills while observing road signs, traffic lanes, traffic signals, and other drivers. Most American believers have learned how to put the key into the ignition and start their Christian car. But they haven't learned anything else. They're just perfectly happy sitting in the driveway with the car engine running. Because we don't want to get out there on the road and deal with all of this stuff, these issues, these conflicts. God has instructed your pastor to teach the function of the vehicle, the skills for driving, the rules for navigating, what to do in case of emergencies. That's why God's able to use them and bring in so many different people to speak to you, because you're learning the skills and how to navigate and the rules of the road. There are other drivers. Other drivers is other belief systems on the road. There are stop signs and traffic systems. There are pedestrians. There are animals. There are objects, all of which represent different kinds of views and issues and problems in the world. Even with all that, we still haven't talked about what to do if your own vehicle develops a few problems. So you see, we all got a lot to learn, don't we? A lot to learn. So this weekly gathering is more than a weekly getaway. You must see it as one of the places that God has provided for you to learn and to grow. I hope this analogy is helping you see what this church is truly designed to do. This is a ministry that is much more than a place to gather to escape. You must see this ministry like a driving school, a gas station, a maintenance shop, an inspection, and a diagnostic center. Woo! For those who want to learn more than just how to drive their vehicle, you guys have been able to gather and kind of go through mechanic training. Believers who want to know how to build or repair a vehicle, that's starting ministries and launching forth. Oh, yeah. God's got it all up in here. I'm sorry, I went back to St. Louis talk. This ministry is designed for those who want to know more. Their ministry is all over this region. They're content with just the status quo and the norm. But God built this place. Yes, sir. He called you guys because you're the first of thousands of people that wanted more. And because of your obedience, a way was opened to catch. God has used you like the kingdom of God principle of the net, the fish net that gets thrown out and catches all different kinds of fish. And God says you've been able to bring them to the shore. And the ones that wasn't ready, toss them back. But he's been able to use you because there's a people that want it more. How many of you can confirm this word? You want it more. You want it much, much more. Thank you, Lord God. So get ready for the road ahead. You're not just going to sit in the driveway with the engine running, going nowhere. You're going to fearlessly get out on the road, face the challenges, and see the fulfillment of God's purpose in hearts and in homes. Now I come back to this moment of intersection. See, I got to come all the way back to this moment of intersection again. We all have somewhere from which we've come. And in the key moments when our paths cross with unbelievers, those who are struggling in their faith, those who are skeptics, those who are confused, those who are just simply lost, we cannot be ashamed of our story. Let it out. Share it. Then they can join in on the journey and begin to follow Jesus. We're able to say, come on, me. Come on. as I follow Christ. You may not even always get a chance to lead them in a sinner's prayer right away. I've been on my job 9 years. I just found out a couple of weeks ago that they were not going to keep me. And so the Lord directed me to, rather than wait for them to fire me and release me, to go ahead and resign. And when I resigned, all these people, I'm not bragging about me. I'm trying to help you to see the glory of God for all of us. All these people coming by my cubicle all day Friday. I heard that you're leaving. You were always one of the good guys. People who I didn't even know were saved, sending me emails. You know how believers are. We send messages on the download, on the email. sending me emails. You know, God bless you, brother. I am so glad. One woman said, I am so glad that God had a strong believer working here in state government. You're going to be missed around here. God has set it up that there's at least two people that want to take me and my wife out to lunch, and they are liberal as they can be. Liberal. I'm talking, yeah, pro-gay marriage, pro-choice, pro all of it. And now they want to take me and my wife out to lunch. But this is after 9 years of just living the life, just living in front of them. I was able to maintain excellent attendance records. See, because people watch all of that. Be at work. Be on time. Don't take fake sick days. I'm calling in sick. Be at work. After 9 years of just living in front of them, sowing seeds, then when the Lord says step away, now all these people, I'm ready to talk. I'm ready to talk to you now. I'm ready to talk. So I'm telling you guys, people are watching you. They may never say a word to you for years, but God's going to give you the moment. Some crisis will come in their life and they'll need you. Take advantage of it. Step up. I have to tell, and I please, God, I hope you're not taking this like I'm bragging. I'm just bringing up the incidents that happened. I heard, overheard, I remember, like, I've been working there about 4 or 5 years, and I overheard a coworker talking to someone on the phone that they were, this friend was in the hospital dying of cancer. He was on the machine that has to breathe for you. He only had 4 days left, and they were going to pull the plug. And God let me overhear that conversation. And I'm sitting in my cubicle, and the Holy Spirit says, now, I know you're not just going to let that man die. So I went back to my coworker and said, I'm sorry, I overheard your conversation, but do you mind if me and my wife come by after work to go pray for the person that you were talking about? And she set it up for my wife and I that day to go and pray for this man, to go to the hospital, and went and prayed for him. Didn't make a big deal. You know, you don't march into the house. I'm God's man of faith and power. We didn't come with an entourage. Just went and prayed for the man. The next day, this is all glory to God. The next day, she came to me and said, Chris, he's awake. Not only is he awake, he's up and he's sitting in a chair and he's eating. God wants to use us, y'all. He'll set up the moment. So I'm telling you, get free from that whole thing that, like, you're bragging about yourself. You're boasting about yourself. No, you're not, because you know how weak you are. You know how flawed you are. You know that this is nothing but God that's sustaining you from day to day. You know that. So don't let these demons whisper in your ear. That's just you bragging. You're another one of those braggadocious Christians. No, I'm not. I'm just glad for what God has done for me. And I'm like that blind man. I don't know all the doctrine and all the argument. All I know is I was blind and I can see. All I know is I could have lost my mind and God gave me peace. All I know is my life fell apart and here I am today with him still sustaining me. Tell it, y'all. Tell the story. Bless the name of the Lord. Let me pray for you right now. Lord, we thank you for this people and for this congregation. Thank you, Lord God, for the mighty works that shall come forth out of this house. And though it won't make Charisma Magazine, and it won't be on TBN, and thousands of people may not hear about it, but we're going to stand before you in glory, and you will say, well done, my good and faithful servants. I was able to put you on this job, and you did what I said. I was able to put you in this neighborhood, and you were a light in the midst of darkness. I even had you in the family that you were born into, and you were able to show my life. Thank you, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Right there as you're sitting, just do like Mary did when the angel came and told her about this holy thing that was going to be born in her. And she didn't know how. She even asked, how can this be? And I don't know a man. He gave her the answer, the Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you. And I'm sure she still didn't understand what that meant, but what did she say? Still, let it be unto me according to your word. Do that right now. Lord, let it be unto me. Yes, Lord, according to your word. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you didn't call us to be famous. You called us to be faithful. And that's all I want to do. I hear that out of your spirits. Everybody in this room, I just want to be faithful. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord.